Well, it's good to be here this evening. I suspect mine will be a number of breaks with some of the comments that have been made earlier. I come from a black feminist tradition, and as Lisa has pointed out, black feminists have been quite critical of a number of absences in Marxism. And I certainly won't try to address all of them, but I hope to put on the table not only issues of theory, but issues of social transformation, issues of struggle, and the current political moment. I think we're in a period where, as quiet as it's kept, grassroots organizers are pushing back against a system at its most egregious. And I want to speak briefly about some of that motion, especially what's going around the U.S. Social Forum and the World Social Forum efforts with implications for not only how we theorize, but how we struggle. Thanks to the organizers, especially Laura, we had a number of email conversations, and she was determined to get me here, and here I am. In assessing 21st century race-critical materialist black feminism, one thing is quite clear. The intellectual and political agendas of those committed to human liberation are stretched thin as humanity confronts the logic of transnational capital, white supremacy, and global patriarchy. Thus, this current period requires a complex theoretical and practice understanding of the complicated intersectional and movement-building energies required in the moment. I'd like to begin my remarks with a set of questions. I don't have answers in the last instance to them all, but I think there are questions raised by a revolutionary black feminism that I'd like to put on the table. Can a race-critical materialist black feminism help us understand the current political moment and the struggles required for social transformation in this moment? Can we, in articulating such a theory, move toward a practice that is both local and global in both national and international spaces that the masses of humanity occupy? And thirdly, how much, in fact, has a still developing race-critical materialist black feminism inform the struggles and the lives of those most caught in the logic of capitalism's death rattle? While there are no easy answers to these three questions, I want to put them on the table and insert them into a fuller discussion about this particular framework. Now, there are a number of assumptions running through a revolutionary black feminism, and let me share a few of those. A critical race materialist black feminism understands that the fundamental conflicts of patriarchy, white supremacy, and economic exploitation must be considered as embedded, as well as powerful shapers of the labor capital dynamic. Indeed, there are profound contradictions in the intersections across class and gender, race, and sexuality lines. But we also understand the simultaneity of these systems and the struggle entailed in breaking off the fetters of a reductionist class or gender or race analysis that do not treat these as embedded realities. Thirdly, emancipatory thinking and strategies demand the self-organization of the world's peoples. As Grace Lee Boggs has soundly asserted, quote, a creative subjectivity that advances the whole of society. The constantly changing reality and new contradictions that drive this change, and a keen sense of how these dynamics energize and inform struggle are all central tropes in a revolutionary black feminism. But perhaps most importantly, this is a feminism that is grounded materially in the real life and practices of everyday human beings, in terms of the real life and practice and experiences of racism, sexism, heterosexism. And this reality, of course, is always changing. And our task is to be in alignment with struggle, in alignment with emancipatory theory, and in alignment with those efforts to advance humanity's freedom. Now, this theory certainly has its root and its roots earlier in black struggle, and I dare say socialist feminist struggle. But it's very clear to me that it did not come out of the academy, that it emerged from outside of the academy into its theoretical walls, and largely emerged in the context of revolutionary decolonization movements. So from the street to the university, and remade in the context of academic theorizing. But significantly, it was women in struggle, in motion on the ground, that placed these ideas in analytical frame. I think directly of the work of the Third World Women's Alliance, of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, of the Combahee River Collective, of women of multiple color formations, black, Latina, indigenous, native, and Asian activists, and transnational feminists have all articulated and struggled with this fundamental insight that racism and white supremacy operate in simultaneity and intersectional and relational ways with capitalism, heteronormativity, and classism. And our struggles must be centered in this fundamental understanding. Secondly, from the ground into the actual practice of left formation was put on the agenda of the women involved in these struggles. And what I mean here is that there was a challenge to male domination within the left, both in the global north and south. And certainly quite a bit has been written about the black power struggle and the kinds of interventions that blew up that assessment of racism in this country as well as racism globally. In my own work with the Black Radical Congress, it was an intense struggle around an intervention within that formation that challenged an essentialized race analysis, and that put front and center on the agenda a black radical analysis, including a challenge to heterosexism, and for the first time, a real struggle around gay, lesbian, transgendered, and queer inequalities. The instantiation of these insights are part of a larger history of the black freedom struggle. These women in resistance also rewrote the history of the black freedom struggle in ways that I want to put on the table for your consideration. Their theory and practice spoke to some of the fundamental assumptions around a history that I think we should give serious thought and assessment to, beginning with the long durée of inequality for peoples of Africa and the African diaspora. The more than 500 years of forced migration as enslaved Africans formed the building blocks of an incipient capitalism, as Africans enslaved and as forced labor provided the means to transition from a purely mercantile system to pre-capitalist forms of social and economic organization. When in the late 19th century, the world was feeling the birth pains of industrial capitalism and colonialism was emergent, African peoples too transitioned, struggling to make sense of a place and space in a society that had already set in motion patriarchal, white supremacist, land and labor theft. These entwined systems, of course, were the building blocks of these women's analyses. In the U.S. context, the era of the post-enslavement period, where African Americans in the United States moved into urban and rural centers and face the excess and expendable reality of cheap labor, where black women's reproductive energies were utilized nearly unchanged as they went from the homes of former slave owners to the sharecropping processes of the post-slave period to new ones involving entanglement in highly exploited domestic labor, struggling in the context of the double and triple duties of uncompensated reproductive labor in urban and rural context. By the time that the civil rights and black power movements exploded, black resistance was already occurring globally through decolonization struggles and the fight for self-determination. And we come full circle with the elision of gender in many of these struggles. African Americans and African peoples throughout the globe fought for self-determination and inclusion in a society that had othered them profoundly, where their counterparts transnationally fought to end colonialism. And the insurgency there certainly fueled the resistance in this country. Contemporarily, the logics of neoliberalization and neo-imperialism continue to dot and haunt us in a trans-capitalist moment. In the never-ending quest for cheaper labor, profit, and the easy flow of capital and goods, multinational corporations have made black labor, and especially black women's labor, nearly expendable. Exploiting the economic and sexual landscapes of Asia, the Caribbean, and South America, industrial cities are turned into dust. And we were in Detroit in the summer of 2010, and the evidence of that profound deindustrialization, the expendability of black labor was all around us, being the point of having it in Detroit because it was emblematic of what they were saying, that Detroit is a city that's coming to your city soon. So those practices were very important for our thinking about the way forward. The increasing information technology, high technology, robotization, and the ending of industrialized labor provided this Detroit landscape. We also found out, as you all are probably well aware, that given the nature of the educational system, the fact that segregation and unequal access is the point of the day, that the justification for the lack of need for a working class population is written in those educational systems every day, extending the expendability in spaces and places to all black working class and poor communities. So this larger and bigger history is the context in which a race-sensitive, revolutionary black feminist locates itself. Given this 21st century reality, it is a factor that many of the poorest of the world and of this country are female, that the Caribbean, Europe, Africa, and the diasporas are extensions of this reality. In advanced capitalist societies such as the U.S., we have a new population of immigrant people. I come from a city where the Somali population pushed out of that country in 1991 and settled in a country that demonizes them, is an expression of new empire in a way that we're just beginning to understand, and a remaking of African-American life in a way that we're just beginning to understand. But the point is the expiration and exploitation of human and material labor continues outside of the need for black labor in this country. We know that the face of imperialism is still raced, gendered, white supremacists, but many of the elites are now indigenous to these populations, so a much more complicated class structure, both internally to this country and globally, that there's a sector of the black population, gendered, also that represents a class integrated into the logic of capital, but the masses of the African-American population continues, as I said, expendable and marginal. So where do we go from here, and what does this all mean? A race sensitive revolutionary feminism has to take in consideration some of the recent struggles, especially around the social forum, both in the United States form of it and in the world form of it. And I want to speak a little bit about that. And back to the question of whether or not this kind of theorizing has had any impact on the nature of the struggles that we're involved in. And the short answer is yes, that for those of us who are activists and scholars, we've seen this relationship between a theory and practice, this intersectional analysis, begin to inform struggles on the ground. So we've come full circle from outside of the academy into the academy, and a rearticulation of these ideas by those from communities that were well represented in both Atlanta in 2007 and Detroit in 2010. These are grassroots organizers that came from communities historically oppressed and whose relationship to theory has never really been taken that seriously. But they've clearly understood in their practice and action the multiplicity of inequalities as well as oppressions that they're up against. They have clearly articulated in the plenaries and in the workshops that the social forums represent a call out to resist in a country that abandoned the poor across ethnicity or race, and indeed in the context of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, set the tone for the 2007 U.S. Social Forum in Atlanta. That was the rubric around this notion of clearly articulating the premise that the praxis of gender, race, class, and sexualities embodied in the New Orleans catastrophe was central to a terrain of struggle that these activists must engage in. So there has been this kind of coming full circle. So in the short term, we can answer yes, that a race revolutionary kind of feminism rooted in black feminist thinking and practice has advanced into the underground struggles that were exemplified in Atlanta in the 2007 forum and certainly in Detroit in the 2010 forum. And the point is, and I think I want to emphasize this quite dramatically, that these activists have emphasized that our interests are by definition connected to those on the ground, to those women most exploited under the rules of this form of white supremacist capitalism, heteropatriarchy, that fighting back requires not only our theorizing, but movement building for revolutionary change. This means working in deep relationality with women organizing to create a different social order. They assert the need for a race, gender, and class analysis, which has an emancipatory core that touches their lives in the way they live their lives on a day-to-day basis. They understand and have articulated that this is a moment of rapacious transnational capital, of intense privatization and global exploitation, and they understand their erasure in it. So the worlds of the dispossessed in this country and globally are informed by the voices of the women on the ground. They understand that in this moment of extreme capitalist crises, from financial speculation to environmental degradation, somehow we must bring the system to its knees. They point out in the various sessions that occurred in Detroit as well as in Atlanta, that for activist women, it is a gendered moment, and it is a moment that requires transnational connections with women all over the world, a transnational feminism. Let me just say a couple of more things about the social forum, and I'll bring these comments to a close. Just to recapitulate a bit, the idea that a race-critical materialist black feminism is not only a theoretical trope, but a trope employed in practice is something that I think we should give some deep and serious thought to. The short-term answer is that we have come full circle, that a way of thinking about theory and practice that started outside of the academy, came into the academy, has returned once again to those in struggle on the ground. In coming up with a final set of observations and comments, I'm out of time. Let me just conclude this. The social forum process certainly indicates that the challenge is to build an emancipatory movement that understands the intersectionalities of a revolutionary black feminism, that in the midst of articulating its interrelationality, that we are in common bond and common struggle with women on the ground who are living these realities on a day-to-day basis and who have made common cause with those sisters transnationally. In a movement for social transformation, we simply cannot be race, gender, and class reductionists, but employ a dialectical understanding of the deep interrelationalities of these systems that undergird the current 21st century moment of transnational capital. This is a praxis and a process that is still in motion. It is an unfinished agenda, and in fact, no real movement for deep level social change, I assert, would be possible and is possible without the serious embrace of a practice and a praxis rooted in multiple inequalities, classes, ethnicities, genders, and races. Thank you.